This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast version of Ben and Woods. Thanks for finding us wherever you are, radio.com, downloading the radio.com app, or, of course, you can listen to us on your smart speaker, and make sure you subscribe so you get our content every single day.
Absolutely. And there's lots of other podcasts from other hosts here in the building and here at 97.3. Make sure to check those out as well. But right now, back to Ben and Woods.
All right, final hour on a Thursday. Thanks again to ESPN's Chris Mortensen. Just a reminder, you can join 97.3 The Fan coming up on September 21st. That's a Saturday at the American Heart Association San Diego Heart and Stroke Walk. Together, we will save lives. Learn more at sdheartwalk.org. Ben and Woods brought to you by 7 Mile Casino. All right, now that I've gotten all that taken care of, we're going to get to some more Padres talk later this hour. We got a little bit into the Antonio Brown situation with Chris Mortensen. He thinks that, you know, he said he doesn't know. Because no one knows what's going through Bill Belichick's mind.
No.
And we'll play more of that audio from Bill Belichick's horrendously uncomfortable news conference yesterday.
So cringeworthy.
In a minute. But Mort says he thinks that the Patriots are basically prepping Antonio Brown to play on Sunday against the Miami Dolphins. At this point, there's nothing that would stop them from doing that if that's what they so wanted.
Yeah, they're now acting as if he's going to be there.
Yeah. Now, of course, there's the difference between civil and criminal charges.
Yes.
That comes into play here, and we thought we better consult our expert here. So joining us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, first time here in our new station, we talked to him a bunch of times. Every time there was legal issues in sports, we brought him on at the old place. So we welcome David Shapiro, criminal defense attorney, to us here on Ben and Woods. David, good morning. Good to have you back.
Good to be here, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, so what specifically is Antonio Brown facing right now with the lawsuit that was filed? What's the process that goes on just in the legal system for Antonio Brown?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, right now he's facing a civil case against him that was filed in the Southern District of Florida down in Miami, where he resides in the off season. So he's dealing with that. The worst that could come of that would be a financial loss. The concern that I have as a criminal defense attorney would be any criminal investigation that either has been generated previously or will come about now that these allegations are out in the open.
And so why was it started as a civil and not criminal? Does anybody have it? Is that something that's common?
Well, it could be a couple of things. It could be one that this alleged victim, this lady, decided to go the civil route with the advice of her attorneys. It also could be that they did report it to law enforcement, and law enforcement might be having an active investigation, or quite frankly, law enforcement, particularly in Miami, may have investigated it and deemed it not worthy of prosecution. Maybe it's a case they don't think they could prove. Details are kind of limited at this point about the criminal investigation, but I did read something earlier this morning. I think that the Allegheny County in Pittsburgh district attorney made a statement that they are going to be investigating at least one of the instances that I believe that happened in Pittsburgh or alleged to have been happened outside of Pittsburgh in June of 2017.
Well, and we are talking to David Shapiro, criminal defense attorney here on Ben and Woods. We're in an interesting time, to say the least. I mean, this is a classic version of he said, she said. I mean, he is saying, I didn't do it. She is saying, you did. There are emails that possibly could lead us to believe that he did something. But it's different now. It's different now in that when the accuser says something, you know, I believe that the first instinct is to believe that accuser. And I think that's how I felt when I read this and I heard this and I saw all the evidence that we had seen, at least. And I know there's probably a lot more we haven't, but I'm reading it going, yeah, he's screwed. But because it's civil, David, doesn't it mean if they settle on a number, he pays her and it goes away?
Well, as far as the civil claim goes, yeah. I mean, if they agree to an amount to settle the case, then that puts an end to the civil case. The concern that I have, though, is that any statements that he makes, he being Antonio Brown, throughout the course of defending the civil case, could be used against him in a criminal court context. It could ignite an investigation against him, or it could basically seal his fate in criminal court. You had mentioned the old he said, she said. Without question, in this day and age, sexual assault cases, even at a criminal case, at the highest burden of proof, are very difficult to defend against. Here, though, what we have, in addition to her saying something happened and him, at least through his lawyer at this point, denying it, there's those emails. If you're able to decipher what exactly he was trying to say, he admits to something corroborating what she said as it relates to them watching church videos and him doing something lewd behind her. Then his attorney comes out and says, well, if anything happened, it was consensual. Me personally, I don't know why he would say that. Don't go out there and necessarily give away your defense unless they know something that we don't, meaning that unless there's some sort of DNA or unless there's some sort of evidence that makes them believe that at least some sexual encounter happened. I'm not really sure why his lawyer would go out there and say, yes, they had sex, but it was consensual.
David, I often say the NFL is not real life. I'm sure, defended real life clients, maybe not specifically from these charges, but what happens in the real world? Let's say a restaurateur is sued in a civil case on allegations of sexual assault. Do they simply get suspended from work? I mean, they continue working. What goes on usually in the real life when this happens?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. It all depends where they work. The NFL is obviously a different animal compared to other jobs. California is an at-will employment state. I mean, I don't do employment law stuff, but, people could be fired for any reason. I don't think an employer would necessarily fire you for being the subject of a lawsuit. They'd probably get creative and come up with another reason why they're letting you go. But, the allegations are to be taken seriously. I think the Patriots state addressed that. It should be interesting what the NFL does. But certainly, anybody else out there, the cab driver who gets accused of sexual assault, the restaurateur who gets accused of sexual assault, sometimes it seems like they're not afforded the protections in someone like Antonio Brown might.
So ultimately, with all of the other drama that's been going on with Antonio Brown, seemingly a headline every other day, does any of that come into play with this? I mean, state of mind, what's going on? Or is this simply because it's a legal case? Hey, it's just the facts of this case and this case alone. Nothing else comes into play.
Well, I mean, as far as this case, what would be interesting to find out about is why now? Why on September 10th of 2019 was this action filed? A week or a couple of days before this lady's supposed to be married. A couple of days after, he's at the epitome of the theater of the absurd of this NFL offseason and the first part of the season, with the whole Raiders-Patriots thing. Why now? Not necessarily saying, why would a legitimate victim of sexual assault delay in telling people? That happens frequently, and that doesn't make anyone more or less believable. But why at this point in time, on this day, when she had so much else going on in her life? That's where it really gets interesting, and that's something that might actually play into the defense's hands as far as it being, in her own words, a money grab or taking a shot at him because he's in the limelight.
Interesting stuff. David, really appreciate it, as always. I'm sure, and this is sports, so undoubtedly we'll need our lawyer again soon.
Absolutely.
So we have you on retainer, standing by. David, appreciate it, as always.
I'm here when you need me. Thank you.
All right, our criminal defense attorney, not our expert. Hopefully never need him.
Right.
On our SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU has auto loan rates as low as 3.15%. APR, low rates means low payments. Apply today at SDCCU.com.
Auto loan rates.
I'm not saying that we need an attorney. Unless saying auto loan rates is a crime now.
Auto loan rates.
We hopefully don't need an attorney.
Can I tell you something?
What?
Yesterday I'm texting David, trying to get him on the show.
Yeah.
I asked, first asked for 8:20. He goes, I'm in court at 8:30. I can make it work. Do you have anything earlier? He's like, plus, got to save time for the auto roan rates.
It's part of the fabric of this
show.
Loves
it.
Yeah, people have it as their ringtone, auto roan rates.
We have three teams in our Pick'em League named auto roan rates.
I had not considered the point that he made at the end. Everyone who just jumped in right away saying, oh, yeah, there's no way this girl's telling the truth. Why would it happen right now? That's so skeptical. And I think the honorable response is what David said, is that, hey, a lot of victims wait to report. That's not unusual. But in a criminal or in a civil case, you know, Antonio Brown's going to have some very high paid lawyers, and they are going to make a big deal about that. And they're going to, if there's a jury, they're going to say, hey, why did you wait? Why did you do it now? You were about to get married. Seems like a really weird time to bring that up. And that could have nothing to do with this at all. But that is a question that they're going to have to face, the plaintiffs, if this ever goes to a trial, because that's going to be something that is brought up in this case. See what I said?
I do.
Was that David's point, kind of, that it'll have an impact if this ever ends up going to trial?
I think that will have, look, that's what their job is. You know, if they're defending Antonio Brown, that's their job, is
right,
to find as many of these little...
It can be very distasteful sounding.
Absolutely, yeah.
And they're doing their job.
And David was not trying to be distasteful at all. He was presenting, I think, the...
I don't think I could be a defense attorney for that same reason.
Same. That's exactly right.
It's an honorable profession. It's something that we need. We rely on people in this country. There are innocent people who are charged of crimes.
Absolutely.
They should absolutely have great lawyers to defend them. But even if you're guilty, you get a defense attorney, and it's their job to do the best job they can, which could mean, you know, attacking an accuser. You know, maybe a legitimate accuser. That would be very tough for me to do.
I just don't know that I could have the stomach for it either.
Yeah.
I would love to be a prosecutor because I would love to be right. You would be a good prosecutor too. That would be a lot of fun. But no, the defense attorney, it's a special breed for sure. Which, by the way, everybody is entitled to a fair defense, and that means Antonio Brown is as well, and he has his right to a day in court. I mean, that's what makes us a phenomenal country because we have those rights. So. The whole thing is pretty convoluted at this point. I did feel, though, and I hate to, we talked about it with some friends the other day. I hate to do the snap judgment. I snap judged about Duke lacrosse. Didn't we all snap judge?
Sure.
You know how I did it? I looked at their faces and I said, guilty. Those guys are guilty. Straight up. I look at them. They're lacrosse players in Duke. They're privileged. This is the victim. Yeah, they did it. 100% they did it. What an a-hole I would have been.
I want to say that ideally that we would never even talk about any of these cases in the media until they're resolved. But at the same time, that's not really tenable either.
And it's not realistic.
I mean, you can't just say, O.J. Simpson's been charged with murder.
Well, we'll see how
it plays out. Like 4 years, we'll see how it plays out, and then we can all make our judgment on O.J. That doesn't work either. There's no fair way, once the court of public opinion is in session.
Yeah.
There's no fair way to handle these. Someone is going to be treated unfairly, and we don't know the facts of the situation. I would say the vast majority of the time, and I think the statistics prove it, the accuser is trying to tell the truth.
Yes.
In the vast majority of the cases. So, you know, my inclination is, as they say, you have to believe the accuser.
You have to.
Of course, there are a small percentage of times when the accuser is not telling the truth. Like in the Duke case, we've seen that happen as well, which means
you also have
to keep an open mind
just in case the
person who was accused of something didn't do anything, because their life could be ruined. If you snap judgment the other way.
There's a friggin' movie about it right now, the Brian Banks story, and I know we've been trying to get him on. I mean, I don't know where it's going to air or if it's a big screen or Lifetime. I have no idea. But wherever it comes out, I'm fascinated because that story, I've watched several pieces on that story, and it's those couple that stick in your mind, the Duke lacrosse case and the Brian Banks story. This guy had a massive future in the NFL, correct? Or was it before he went to USC?
No, it was
from USC
to
the NFL.
He was going to the NFL.
A massive career ahead of him, potentially. And the woman straight up lied. I mean, and he got her on tape after he was out of jail or something, or even while he was in jail, saying, yeah, I made the whole thing up. Just made it up. But ruined his life. I mean, could have ruined his life. You know?
But
I mean,
that is also the very small minority of cases.
But if there's an exception, and I'm
but
not,
everyone who's accused, or almost everyone, says, oh, yeah, I'm that one.
I'm that one.
Who's, you know, I'm being the victim here. But you're,
it's like Shawshank.
Most of the time you're not. Yeah.
Lawyer after me. Every single one. There's not a guilty man in here, of course. But, you know, with that shred of evidence against it, Ben, it's hard to keep an open mind. You read those emails from AB. How do you keep an open mind once you read that? You know how it's, you're like, you did it. You did something. You did something you shouldn't have done, and you should pay. Very hard, man. Very hard.
Well, you know, the team that needs to answer these questions right now, the New England Patriots. That's where Antonio Brown plays. That's where he practiced yesterday. But if you think they're actually answering questions, you don't know Bill Belichick. Coming up next, one of the most awkward news conferences from a guy who is the master of the awkward, uncomfortable news conference. We'll play pretty much the whole thing because it is cringeworthy, yet oddly compelling. Woods, that's coming up next. So tomorrow, Woods, is my official 15-year anniversary at Channel 10.
Wow.
Yep. Now, I had been working there for a couple of years before that as a part-time fill-in anchor, but my full-time hired date was September 13th, 2004.
Amazing.
So 15 years at Channel 10.
Let's have a big celebration, and then we'll steal Paul's thunder for his birthday.
That sounds like a great
idea. Is that a good idea?
Paul's birthday is the 14th, mm-hmm. right? Yes, Saturday.
Except, but we're not, I don't know if you know this, but we only broadcast Monday through Friday.
Oh, it's true.
So if we're going to celebrate Paul's birthday, we have to do it tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, but I'm not that guy.
You're not that guy? Birthday month?
We're all that guy.
Well, I'm not birthday month. No, I mean, I don't know. My birthday's been on a weekend before, and I'm just like, eh.
Wait, isn't Hannah's birthday on Saturday as well?
No, it's Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she is that guy, by the way. My wife, Hannah, is 1,000%. We have a whiteboard in our home. That has happy birthday month. Now I didn't write it. She wrote it to herself. Happy birthday month to me.
I live by myself. What if somebody like
walked in?
Anybody walks in and there's right there on the fridge or whatever.
Happy birthday month, Paul. Me. So yes, it's Sunday.
Just a reminder, it's your birthday.
You know
month,
what's
Paul.
Great is I have a baseball game on Sunday. That's going to go over like a lead balloon.
Luckily, you've been celebrating every single day before that. So
you're spending the day with your wife.
No, I'm playing baseball at 1. We'll have breakfast.
So anyway, the place that I was actually going here is that over the course of 15 years, I've gone to a lot of news conferences, whether they be Padres, Chargers, other events, holiday golf tournaments. News conferences are a regular part of the job. And I remember when I first got started, I was too scared to even like raise my hand to ask a question. I mean, you've got like 40 veteran, salty old reporters in there, and I'm, 27-year-old Ben, the new TV guy in town. I didn't feel confident enough to be. I just let the other people ask the questions.
I don't blame you.
Over the years, I've realized, all right, stop being such a, whatever.
Say it. I'll dump it. Say it.
Don't say it. Never mind.
Say it.
Candy,
Candy ass.
Yeah, that.
Candy,
just,
Just
ask the questions. Just ask the questions. But it is kind of a nerve-wracking situation still.
Yes.
When you're in that group. Because if you ask a bad question, then your fellow colleagues could make fun of you. If you ask a good question, but it's one that the subject doesn't want to hear, you could get the death stare. Or you could get a glare or kind of an awkward moment. I've never done a Bill Belichick news conference. But I have no idea how that would go. Just sitting there. I mean, they're kind of pointless. They're kind of oddly compelling. You know that he's not going to answer the question, yet you have to ask it anyway. And yesterday may have been the masterpiece of his career. He gets up in front of reporters.
Holy cow.
In which no one has anything on their mind other than Antonio Brown.
Right.
But the first thing he says is, I'm not talking about Antonio Brown. And it leads to like 2 minutes of the most awkward news conference material I've ever heard. Here is in its pretty much entirety, the New England media, Bill Belichick, and, I mean, just the theater that goes on in one of these things.
The situation, we're taking it very seriously, all the way through the organization. Sure, there are questions, but I'm not going to be entering into a discussion about that today. So we're up.
Bill, were you aware of the lawsuit when you signed Antonio Brown?
I'm not going to be expanding on the statements that have already been given.
Don't you think the fans deserve to hear a little more from you on
when we know more, we'll say more.
That, you know, could impact the team.
Yeah. I just said that.
Oh, boy.
Don't you think fans deserve to hear a little bit more?
When we know more, we'll say more.
Oh, boy.
Are you preparing to have Antonio Brown at practice today?
Yes.
And are you preparing for him to play on Sunday?
We're taking it one day at a time. Just like we always do.
Preparing for the possibility that he could be on the commissioner's
We're preparing for one day at a time.
How much weight would the allegations against him weigh into whether or not you play him on Sunday?
Yeah. I appreciate all the questions, and that's what's been said has been said.
You know, you brought up Randy Moss yesterday. Do you think that Antonio Brown will require as much attention as Moss did to get him in sync with the team?
Yeah, I didn't say that.
I'm asking you.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know if he'll require more attention?
No.
How difficult or frustrating is it to have a distraction like this right at the beginning of the season? When you're
we're working on Miami.
Oh, God.
We're working on Miami. The rest of it is, we're on Miami.
You've had bigger distractions before. Are you confident that this is not going to throw you off track at all?
We're working on Miami.
Oh, for God's sake.
Went through the scouting report. Stop went through asking. The game plan today. We're going to practice for Miami.
Can you tell us all what Antonio Brown has said to you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm done with that. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Anything else on Miami?
You're done with it in what way, sir?
Any other questions?
Can you explain what you mean when you're done with it? I mean, we're just trying to find out if he said anything to you about his position and about the allegations.
Yeah, and I just answered that question.
Well, actually, you did.
Actually, I did.
Oh, God.
Thanks,
everyone.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, for my sakes. I mean, you want it to stop. You're like,
well, you want it to keep going forever.
But in your mind, you're also saying, "Stop asking questions." He's not going to answer them. But at the same time, that's their job. If they stopped asking the questions, they would be not doing their job. No one wants to know, you know, how you're scheming for the worst team in football.
Yeah, what are you going to do to stop Ryan Fitzpatrick, Bill? What do you see? What'd you see out of Miami in Week 1 that you really like?
If you just let Bill Belichick or any other coach or athlete come in and say, hey, I'm not talking about this.
Yeah, I didn't say that.
And just let him off the hook every single time, you'd be a terrible journalist. Terrible journalist.
Like us.
But at the same time, oh, it's so painful and so awkward.
It's so
when
good.
You actually listen to the whole thing.
God, that's
I thought
brilliant.
That was worth listening to.
Oh, man, that was...
actually, you did.
That was amazing.
Thanks, everyone. Thank
okay.
You.
Actually, I did. You didn't. He didn't really. He answered nothing.
Nothing.
He shed no light on anything. He was complete Bill Belichick.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my no. God.
Oh, gives me cold sweats to listen to that thing.
You think that Antonio Brown will require as much attention as Moss did to get him in sync with the team?
Yeah, I didn't say that.
I'm asking you.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's my favorite.
Yeah, I don't know
if he'll require more attention.
It's the best.
Nope. You don't know if he'll require more attention?
Yeah, I don't know. It's so good. It is so flipping good.
See, now every other coach probably says, yeah, that's the way to do it. You just deflect. But they can't do that. It's too awkward for them up there to not start talking too much. And, you know, then they end up saying a little bit more. And that's how it always works with every other coach, because they can't keep their mouth shut. We're all kind of the same way. Put a microphone in front of us. We will try to fill.
Yes. Fill the time.
We're sitting up there and you can't, that awkward silence, the other 31 coaches can't handle it. And Bill can. He can say. I don't know.
Does he just like flip a switch? Like, is there ever a point where he talks to the media pretty shortly after, like, talking to the guys? Maybe he's fired up after a win. Great job, guys. Great game. Take the night off. We'll see you tomorrow. And then
puts on press face. He's got press face.
I don't think his fired up face is anywhere near what other fired up coaches sound like. But he definitely has. All right, walking into the cameras, dead in the face. You know, like he shot himself up with Botox.
Yeah, just dead.
There's no expressions, no nothing.
Dead inside?
Yeah.
You know, just dead inside. Yeah, no, I didn't say that. It's so good. It really is. There's an art form to it. And as frustrating as it's got to be for those guys that cover him, also got to be the easiest gig in the world to cover that guy. You know, you're never going to get anything. And it's probably fun for them to see how far they can push at this point. Like, how many questions do you think? How many ways can we ask about AB? Nine? Let's ask. Let's try to get nine. They do their own version of the Incorporator, where they try to get nine different versions of Bill Belichick saying, "I'm not going to talk about AB."
Right, and they some of them try to phrase it in a way. Well, you know, how's your team going to react? You know, to all the controversy.
He's not infallible.
He's not going to go for that bait.
Well, I mean, in the question, the question that I thought had a lot of validity was, "What's he said to you? What has Antonio Brown said to you, Coach?" And I feel like 99% of coaches would be like, listen, they would either say, look, we've talked and I like where his head's at, or he'd say, hey, that's private. He didn't even say that. Mm. He's just like, no.
We're not going to talk.
We're on to Miami.
Crazy. Just
it's bananas. And I love it. I can listen to it every day.
The rest of it is, we're on Miami.
So good, man. All right. The Padres wrap up their series against the Cubs this afternoon, going for 3 out of 4. Is it time to end the season for Chris Paddock? I think it's a worthy debate to be discussing after his performance last night. And on a good note, give him another opportunity. What would you do? We'll talk some Padres baseball as we wrap things up next with Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan. Do we see Chris Paddock again this season, or is he done for the year? Andy Green is not saying, which is not unusual.
Is he being Belichickian in his responses?
No, he's being very upfront and open, and not saying anything.
That's Andy
Green. That's not Belichickian.
That's Andy Green's best Belichick.
I don't know.
Sensational.
So good.
It doesn't do him any good to, you know, make a decision, snap judgment after a start last night, because if they change their mind, I get it. Then there'll be a lot of questions like, well, you told us that he was going to make a start. Now he's not. What's wrong with him? It's nothing. We just, you know, thought it over and decided not to. So, yeah, he didn't say anything. Chris Paddock was terrific yesterday. 6 shutout innings. He's now not given up a run in 14 and a third consecutive innings. Got his 9th win of the season. And do you have that tweet still from Dennis Lynn?
I do. I retweeted this from Dennis last night, and I will find it.
I have it here.
You.
If it was the end of Chris Paddock's season, his final stats will include 135 and two-thirds innings, a 3.38 ERA, and a 1 whip. Since 1986, Jose Fernandez and Walker Buehler are the only rookie pitchers to finish with equal or better numbers in those three categories.
Pretty good company there, my friend. Really good year for Chris. Either answer is the right answer. I don't think there's a wrong answer. If you want to give him another start, cool. I'm happy with that. You want to shut him down? Also happy with that.
I think the right answer is to shut him down, because if you shut him down now, it's a complete positive offseason. You know, those numbers speak for themselves. You can build on that going into next year. Probably, if you let him go another start, he'd be fine. Maybe have another outstanding start. But what is that? That doesn't change anything. It's not all of, you know, he's not going to turn any corners. He doesn't need one more start for his confidence or, you know, any mental ability to get over the hump in September. He's already shown that. So I just think the only thing that can happen at this point is, unfortunately, something bad.
Risk reward?
Yeah. Well, an injury, a bad outing. You don't want any of that.
So, but Benny,
might as well just let it be here.
His next start comes against who? It would be against the Milwaukee Brewers, who are in a pennant race right now. So if you're a Brewers fan, you're hoping you don't see Chris Paddock. And if you're a fan of any of those other teams, not that the Padres owe that to any other team, but there's kind of an unspoken thing. There's kind of an unspoken thing in baseball that you play hard all 162 and you try to win as many as you can out of that 162. And I think, you know, if they ran out of bullpen day instead of Chris Paddock, those kind of things aren't forgotten. You know, people think about that stuff. And I feel like, I'm not saying he needs to go out and pitch for the integrity of the game, but if he's healthy and can pitch, he should pitch.
I mean, I understand the argument. Hey, it's a pennant race. You got one more game against a pennant team. If you want to be fair, if you want to like uphold the integrity of the season,
yeah.
you showed him to the Cubs, you should show him to the Brewers as well.
Exactly.
And if the Brewers beat him, more power to them. You know, they deserve maybe to win that wild card
over the Cubs if they can do so. I feel like if he's healthy and he's...
But the Padres aren't playing for the Cubs or the Brewers, or to be a spoiler...
I get it.
They're playing for next season. They're playing for themselves.
I understand. You're right. You're absolutely right. And like I said, I don't think there's a wrong answer. If they came out today and said, all right, yeah, he's going to... You know, take the ball in 6 days. I'm not going to pitch a fit, and I don't think you are either. You know what you're going to be doing next Wednesday, watching Chris Paddock, watching him and rooting for him. Yeah,
for sure.
I think that it's there's something to be said about finishing the race as a young pitcher, as a rookie pitcher. There's something to be said about. Yeah, they sent me down for 10 days. I had to get my head right and work on a couple of things. Sure, they stretched me out, and I you know took a little bit of extra rest, but I finished the year, and this is how I finished. He seems like the kind of guy to me that is going to want to finish the year. It's not. I know it's not up to him, but there's something about that to me that means a lot more to me as a fan than his performance last night. If it ended there, now if he tweaks something, done, shut him down. But if he's healthy and feeling good, I'd love to see him get that last one and go out and shove against Milwaukee on the road.
First of all, just want to say shout out to all of our friends. Padres Twitter that I saw last night came up and said hello. A lot of nice words about the show.
Good.
Woods, everybody listening, we really do appreciate that. A lot of tier ones in that group.
I heard they said that you need to break my balls more.
They enjoyed yesterday around this time when you broke your news about
the
Seals.
Why are you finger quoting it?
Because it's not necessarily breaking news that the Seals are going to play a home opener in December.
It is on if I give you the date and the opponent. All right, well, so let me ask you this. Did you know that news before I broke it?
I did not know that.
Could you have found that news anywhere else?
I could not have found out that
news. That's breaking news! That is breaking news. Now, here's the other thing. The NLL delayed the...
Do you know what I have in my coffee cup right now?
Coffee.
Okay, yes,
coffee.
But you didn't know that for sure.
Yes, I did. No.
It could have been.
It's
actually
coffee.
It's a cappuccino.
It's coffee.
How about that?
Which
breaking
is
news.
Derived of
breaking
what?
News. Could you have gotten that news anywhere else other than me right now?
Now you listen.
That's your breaking news.
We don't do NFL division by division. We're different. I mean, we're not revolutionary or anything, but we don't go division by division and pick winners. We just don't do that here.
That's Ben doing me, by the way. How dare he? How dare he, at the end of the day, make fun of me like that? I would never.
We don't do NFL division by division.
I would never do that to him.
You wouldn't, actually, which is funny. Because do you do it behind my back, though?
What?
An impression of me.
No,
you have impressions of everybody, but you've never pulled one out on me. And I'm wondering, maybe he saves that because it's too hurtful.
Like, you think I go,
too painful.
You think I go home and I'm like hi, hey, I'm Ben. No, I don't. Never. Okay. Never. I've never had one bad thing to say about you.
It's not a bad thing necessarily, but you just think I might not be able to take it. That might be too
much. I wear you out on a daily basis. If I came in, it was like,
I've perfected my Ben impression. I'm breaking it out today. All right, don't
I
hold
think
back.
I did, actually.
Don't hold back.
I think when we very first started the show, I think I had a question, and we had, you know, Ben and I didn't know each other, so I asked Ben.
This.
I remember, and I said, Do you talk this way off the air? Like, that's your voice. He's like, no, this is my voice. I talk like this when I'm talking to my kids. So I had the idea of Ben at home seducing his wife, Shelley, in that voice. Like, darling, I really love that brassiere you're wearing. I think it's fantastic. I'd like to remove it with my teeth and throw it on the ground. And I asked,
do you discipline your kids? That's
it,
gosh darn it.
That is
it.
No more PlayStation for you, boys. Get up to your room. I think...
Shelly, back to you.
Yeah, and Shelly, back to you. Exactly. I think we tried that.
This disciplinary action has been brought to you by
Seven Mile Casino.
So true. You're in timeout for 7 minutes.
I like, and you listen
in
to...
In that time, you could make it to Seven Mile Casino from downtown. It's that close.
You put that Eco Water down right now. Get to your room. I think you can hear. Let's play the Ben imitating me again, and there is a bit of hatred in it.
We don't do NFL division by division. We're different. I mean, we're not revolutionary or anything. We don't go division by division and pick winners. We just don't do that here.
It's hatred. There's disdain in it.
There was some frustration because I'd been listening
to
Tony and Chris in the afternoon going division by division. I was really enjoying it. I was I miss making my picks, but Woods won't let me do it because
we don't do that. That's tired old sports talk radio. NFL division by division. We're different.
Wanted to my division by division picks.
All right, let's do them tomorrow. We'll do
them. We'll do them tomorrow.
Already started.
We will do it tomorrow. We're doing it tomorrow. I know. I'm difficult.
Eric tweets in, Ben imitating Woods is so great. Sounds like a dirty old man.
It really does. Look, I don't want to be known as this guy. Hey, what about this idea? No. What about this one? No. But I know I am. You guys now set up interviews behind my back, which I think is just fascinating.
I feel guilty about it when I take you off the group and directly to Paul and I say, hey, I think we should talk some Aztecs football today. Because I know what you're going to say.
I
don't even need your opinion on this anymore.
I would say yes. I would. I would say yes. I feel like I get a bad rap here. But listen, if my greatest crime is pushing you guys to be better, lock me up. Throw away the key, Ben. Lock me up forever.
Nothing but fond thoughts of you, Woodsy.
Same, buddy.
But fond thoughts.
That was so good.
So I have a question. You were at the game. I want to say you may have left because you didn't stay until the end.
I left in the fifth.
All right, so the bottom of the sixth. Did you hear what happened?
No, of course.
So the Padres had runners at the corners. Josh Naylor at the plate.
Hardly
two outs. Ty France was at third.
Oh, I saw this.
Okay, did you see this?
Dude, I saw this. So, is that technically a steal of home?
I think so. I mean, if you stop midway, does it turn into an error? I think they charged the Cubs with an error. They did. So, I guess it's not technically a stolen base of home because if he kept going and been safe, then it was a stolen base.
Got it. He
stopped midway, and then Brad Wick threw it to the backstop, and then he took off again. It became an error.
I did see that, and I read something that Andy was like, hey, if we get a chance to rattle his cage is rattleable.
Because they know Brad Wick.
Brad Wick
was a Padre until he was traded for Carl Edwards Jr. About a month and a half ago, and I find it fascinating when you use your knowledge of your own players then
against them so good.
After they've gone on to another team. I almost felt bad for Brad Wick going,
a little bit.
Man, they think pretty little of you. they thought you could be rattled by taking off for home plate.
It was Tatis, it's like Ty France.
It's like fine, you know, he's probably gonna make it no matter what. We're talking about Ty France. You just send him from third with two outs and a pretty decent hitter at home plate, and you took off.
Who was at the dish?
Naylor.
Holy
Naylor against
cow.
Brad Wick. I mean, it's like, don't take Naylor the bat out of his hands. But they sent him because they knew
he was
going to
win.
They
knew it was going to, I can't say it, but it was going to get tight on him.
Ouch.
And oh, my God. I did see that. And that's, hey, man, that's
I thought for a second, was there a suicide squeeze? No, they wouldn't do that with two outs.
Right.
That makes no sense. They,
and not
they
with
were
Naylor.
Trying to steal home on a former pitcher of their own.
Because they knew he would be rattled.
Yes.
I thought that was brilliant.
Oh,
I think it's
tough.
Brilliant. I mean, it worked. He throws it to the backstop. You know, no worries at all for France scampering in, touching home plate. Say what you want. That's pretty good managing right there.
Good series for Andy Green. So I was listening to Chris Ello at the start of a show yesterday, and he made, I thought, an unbelievable point about Tuesday's game. Bottom of the 10th inning, C-Sheck had just walked. Urias had the single, and he had walked one guy, and Travis Jankowski was up, and it was a 2-2 pitch that it was high and tight, and he kind of ducked out of the way. But even watching live, you go, that didn't hit him. That didn't come close. Why are you – so Andy called for a review. Let's go, this is dumb. This is obviously going to be denied. You're going to lose your challenge. I mean, why are you doing this? But then Chris pointed out, I thought this was brilliant, what he did, though, and he thinks that Andy did it on purpose. Andy didn't admit it after the game. He made a pitcher who was already having trouble on the mound just then sit there for 2 minutes with on a 3-2 pitch, getting colder and colder, knowing, hey, if he walks this guy, all of a sudden we have the winning run at third base, you know, with the bases loaded and just one out. This is an important pitch. I'm going to use my challenge not to win a challenge, but to ice the pitcher on the mound. And I thought, wow, if that's really what Andy did, and I believe Chris, when he, you know, the way he phrased it, that's exactly what Andy must have been doing.
That's pretty good.
That is some gamesmanship.
That is pretty cool.
And then, I watched this whole game, and none of this occurred to me. So, and then Joe Maddon comes out when the bases are loaded, and he wants to rearrange his infield, bring an outfielder in, cut off a potential winning run at home plate. But as Chris said, he could have just, you know, waved a guy in from the outfield. You don't need to come out and talk to the umpire and do everything. He came out, you know, moved his infield around. Anthony Rizzo had to change his glove from a first baseman's glove to a infielder's glove because they moved him out. And while this is all going on, Steve Cishek is out there. Hey, can I throw a couple of tosses to stay warm during this? He was trying to get his pitcher a chance to find the strike zone, which he had been unable to do. And it was a reverse gamesmanship the other way. It was all this next level game with the game stuff, and I hadn't even thought about that. And Chris pointed it out.
That's good stuff.
I thought it was really good stuff yesterday.
Yeah, those are the kind of things. I mean, that
didn't work.
It didn't work.
Not going four pitches.
Not for Maddon. But the thing last night with Brad Wick. Yeah, that's really, really good managing right there. Saying, hey, if we get a chance, and it's funny because I was doing prep work for our interview with Eric Hosmer that never happened. And they talk about the Lucas Duda play that happened in the World Series, where Hosmer was basically a grounder to third, and they Duda ended up throwing it away. Hosmer scores a tying run in the ninth, most exciting play in baseball in that World Series. Unbelievable. And they had said before, hey, we're going to test Lucas Duda's arm every chance we get. And who did it? Eric Hosmer scampered home. Duda throws it away. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that like goes into managing a championship team. So I was happy to see that out of Andy Green last night.
So for all the Andy Green critics out there, and I'm not saying you're wrong
a lot of times.
You're right a lot of times. You know, even as closely as I watch the game, sometimes you don't even see some of the strategy that goes on behind the scenes.
Because you know when France started to break for home, 99% of people, what in the F are you doing? But they knew. They knew. Let's test him. Let's rattle him. And boy, did it worked out, man. It was really cool.
So, yeah, unfortunately,
I love that stuff.
Again, if you missed it, we didn't get that Eric Hosmer interview that we were hoping for. And I get it. Andy gave him the day off, and it's like, hey, don't show up early for an interview. We want you to rest and get right, and you'll be back in the lineup. So hopefully we'll get that rescheduled for you. Either way, we will be back tomorrow for the Friday edition of Ben and Woods. Looking forward to it, as always. We will read some raps. We will have a lot of fun. We will get you ready for the weekend. That is it for today.
Friar Friday.
We don't know who our guest is yet either on that one, but we'll let you know on Twitter. So follow us at Ben and Woods. For The Hammer, for Paul Reindl, for Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Jim Rome Show is coming up next. Early Padres baseball pregame 11:40 on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.